News. Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Get your day started with me tomorrow morning from 4 to 6 on FM Talk 106.5.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on a Thursday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Sure glad to have you here. Contact us through the text line, the phone line. Just a few of the ways to get through at 343-0106. Also, check us out over at Facebook and Twitter. And we'll take emails, too. Good old-fashioned emails, which for some reason have been coming in at a high volume as of late. Which we'll get into, by the way. So I mentioned the toll stickers and the decals that so many of y'all were interested in, the Block the I-10 toll sticker. I had somebody come into the studio today. We'll get a picture of it, Dalton. Why is it that just the regular size is not good enough? Now I have one that was delivered here today that's 2 feet by 2 feet. So I'm going to, if you put it on the front windshield backwards, then y'all can see it in your rear view. I won't be able to see out the truck, but I'll show you a picture of that coming up in just a little bit. Also coming up on today's show, Ben Raines is going to join us. More on the discussion of the Clotilda and where it might end up. Remember, now the Clotilda has been found. Does it go? I mean, there's going to be pull for it to go to a federal somewhere, maybe in Washington. Of course, the state is pulling for it, as is Mobile County, as is the city of Mobile. Does it go to Africatown? Do you do another version of it, put one in Africatown, and then do a copy of it and put it down at the Gulf Quest? So there, a lot of those questions could come up. We'll talk about that in hour number two with Ben Raines. This hour, our friend Terry Lathan, head of the Alabama GOP, chairwoman of the Alabama GOP in studio. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. It's good to be home in Mobile.
That's right. You have been, not only are you all around the state, you've been out of the state. You were up in Charlotte, weren't you?
I was, yeah, just last week, as a matter of fact. So the Republican National Committee met, and prior to that, the members on the Committee on Arrangements, which I am a member, represent Alabama, I'm real proud of that, too. We met a few days early in Charlotte, and it was about convention plans. We went to the Spectrum Center, which is home of the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun. I got to dunk a basketball. But
you can dunk?
Well, the rim was down to my face.
Yeah, feels good.
You made me say that part. I wanted to leave that part out. Yeah. But anyway, yes, yeah, so we were on the court, and they gave us a brief tour of the arena.
Right.
Really exciting. Just really exciting. This particularly... this venue, this will be my 8th Republican National Convention I've been to.
Wow.
My 2nd is chair. So it's a big lift, but it's a fun lift. This one's a little bit smaller than most of the bigger arenas we've been in. But the reality is the Democratic Party had their 2012 National Convention there.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have more delegates because of their formula that they use. And they got everybody in. So a little bit different venue for us, a basketball arena.
Yeah, I want to talk about that process as well. So you go into there. We think about what it looks like on television.
It looks huge on TV.
You watch on TV, and also you see the arrangement on the floor by states and this and that. How does it, I mean, actually look from the, do I mean, they're just, is it chairs set up, and here's the Alabama, here's these chairs are for Alabama people, then there's...
Yes, there's X amount of chairs for X amount of delegates. And then there's alternate delegates that sit at the top two because a delegate cannot be there to vote on something. And so that person would come down and take their spot. But credentialing, security is very tight.
Sure.
I learned that the hard way in 1988, my very first convention in New Orleans. I left the arena trading credentials and didn't have one on. Carolina and got stopped by the Secret Service, like literally feet before I left the arena. Caused a big old scene, and my folks came piling in on a golf cart. The head of the RNC convention said, "Lathan, what are you doing?"
You were being detained.
Sorry, I was. I learned. You don't move in that area without credentials, so
sure.
Learned the hard way. But
what goes on? Like, so to get on the floor, you're credentialed, or get in the building entirely?
Everybody.
So where, and what is it like outside? I guess going back to the TV angle. So I watch these,
sure.
And I see what it looks like on a television
sure.
screen. I don't know what's beyond that, right? You
right.
see the convention floor. What is beyond that? Are there other things going on, or is it just like empty hallway and then you walk in? I mean, what's the setup of that?
It is like a giant anthill with ants that never stop moving. So there are, you know, if you went to a football game or a basketball game and you walk around, you leave your seat, you're
sure.
going to get concessions,
right.
you're going to buy t-shirts.
Right.
It's a lot like that. There's people everywhere.
So once you go outside the floor, are there other things involved with the convention going on, like in the outside the main room that we see
yes.
on TV, that shot?
Yes. There's vendors and merchandise.
Okay.
There are rooms. There's VIP. There's food. There's, you know, just it's a big lift. It really is a giant big lift, and it takes a year and a half. We've already been planning
mm-hmm.
for a year from now.
Right.
I mean, it is a big lift. You got one shot. We got to get it right.
So there is. So there's multiple things. There's what we see on television.
Yes.
We see the delegates. We see all the
yes.
that and the speeches. But then you're talking to people from other states and doing stuff out
yes.
out in the.
We do. And look, when you go to the convention, as a rule, I can only report what I've been through. The delegation meets every morning at breakfast, and if there's any words that have come down from the RNC or maybe the campaign, different candidates, that this will not be the case in 2020, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump is our guy. But it is given to us at breakfast as a rule, and we disseminate that amongst the delegates. We run a real tight ship. We had a great time in Cleveland in 2016. My bar was set very low because I just didn't understand Cleveland or what's in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know a lot about it. One of the best conventions we've ever had.
Really?
People are still talking about it. Yeah, so our bar is going to be raised for Charlotte, and they've been really good to us. In fact, I was on a panel last week, and the police chief of Charlotte, who is supposed to retire June 2020, said, "I will not retire until after the convention of August 2020 for the Republicans. I want to see this through. I want to get this done. We want security to be the best." And I'm going to write him a handwritten note to thank him, putting out his retirement 2 or 3 more months where he can walk away to get us through that. And that it was very honorable.
Let's talk about the flip side of this. And you mentioned 88. You talk about the years since then going
mm-hmm.
in security. This sounds cliche, but this is it's more contentious than I can remember in my lifetime in the political world. Is that fair to say?
Are you talking about just overall if you turn on television or radio?
Yeah, right. And,
social media.
Yeah. And look what happened yesterday with the president going to Dayton and going to El Paso. And I'm somebody who, when I see protests, I see peaceful protests, I actually smile
mm-hmm.
because that is one of the great
sure.
things of our republic, people expressing their First Amendment rights. But we have seen a ramping up of it going beyond words and going to violence. We saw it during 2016. I wonder what you're looking at for Charlotte, and God forbid, you know, that if you see what's happening just with the president stopping somewhere right now to
mm-hmm.
go be where people are suffering,
mm-hmm.
I just wonder. I mean, they got to be thinking about Charlotte
yeah.
and what happens there.
So the sad part about that, there is a flip side, and it's not what the cameras see, and it's not what's reported. I heard a report today that the president got down on his knees to be with children in these cities yesterday and to hug them and love them and to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part we're not hearing.
Sure.
There's people who yell the loudest
sure.
are going to have the cameras turned on them.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's the nature
that's
of
the
media.
Beast.
Yes.
It is, the beast. And so I think I have no thoughts that we're going to have any problems. Are there going to be folks that get in? There was in 2016.
Right.
You know, but
that's
listen,
what I'm thinking. If 2016, right. do you think – because at this point, I don't know if they're – I think their numbers may not be any more than they were then, but they seem to be
louder,
more organized now,
well,
and maybe maybe that causes an issue. I mean, who knows? Who knows what happens? But it's got to be something. As you just went up for this meeting, y'all got to be talking about this. You got to talk about how security works and all that.
Well, of course. And that was one of the things on our minds. But the reality was, before we could even bring it up, they were telling us how prepared they are. They've already started their plans. They're looking forward to us being there. We walked in going, what is this going to be like? What to expect? And we left going, this is going to be fantastic. We feel great. And also, you have to remember, they perimeter off every convention. Mm-hmm. Could be half a mile.
Right. Then you
up
have the,
around
you
it.
Have the
you're not getting yet. In that area unless you have a credential, and you've been credentialed through your state party, not just delegates, but guests. Like if you want to be a guest, you have to come through us and we credential you. Every person in that building has something around their neck. Unless you were like me in 1988 and
you saw what happened
don't
there.
Don't do that.
Hey, talking to a chair of Alabama GOP, Terry Lathan, guest in studio. Come back. I want to take it from Charlotte and bring it back here in Sweet Home, Alabama, and talk about, here we go. I mean, we're in the primary cycle.
Yeah.
And although we're, pretty much we're always in a cycle, even when the day after an election, we're already in a cycle.
Yep.
But I do want to talk about the situation right now. Alabama, we've got a primary for Senate. We got a primary for AL1. We'll have a primary AL2 in this mix. So lots to talk about when we come back. And if you got questions, you can always text those in to 343-0106. Our guest, Terry Lathan.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. A guest in studio, chair of Alabama GOP, Terry Lathan, who's finally back home. She has been in Charlotte up there where in a year and a half the convention's going to be. You better get back home. There's like a couple things going on here for the GOP.
Just a little bit.
I mean, you got some work back here at home.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this, too. I want to point out that, did you see that morning consult poll? Alabama is the, at least as of today, the Trumpiest of all the states.
The Trumpiest. Yeah.
61% job approval.
I think third polling in a row. So we go back and forth.
Who do we share that with?
So Wyoming and West Virginia.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? The A or the W's,
mm-hmm.
the Trumpiest. And the definition is the highest approval rated state.
Yeah, I wouldn't
in the
use
nation.
A scientific term when I said
right. and so yes, Alabama once again, and the president is well aware of this. I assure you. I have spoken with him several times, and when I say Chairman Alabama, he lights up. And the last time I said, I love Alabama. He goes, I love Alabama, and his face kind of lit up. And I did get to speak at the vice president's house last week and was able to meet with the vice president and his lovely wife and, again, mentioned chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. Oh, we love Alabama. How's it going? How's the U.S. Senate race? So very interesting. They're cued into Alabama, folks, I assure you.
He may not be able to tell me, but I'm interested in all this stuff. Is the vice president as staid in person as he is? Staid in a statesmanlike way, like he is on stage. What's he like at the House?
He is so comfortable in his own skin. He is neighborly and loving and, when he asks you a question, he really is listening and wants to know the answer. He's
right.
Like your next-door neighbor. I found him one of the most warm politicians I've ever met. Like to have a 5-minute conversation.
Well,
with.
This is why I'm asking you about him. I'm going straight
He's
to the
great.
Vice president. There's something about it that seems like that. I mean, something about it's intrigued me over time. And I was a person really he wasn't on my radar for a long time. Obviously, until he was named VP, or maybe a little bit before that, or running mate. But there's something, I don't know what it is, and I can't put my finger on it, Terry, but there's something about it, like he would be somebody I would want to go have lunch with.
Well, you know what you're doing, Sean? You're using your gut intuition. You're looking at someone who is a pure person, not perfect person, but a pure in their agenda and loving their country. You know, he's been a congressman. He's been a governor.
Mm-hmm.
Be a governor is a big lift. There's a lot of congressmen.
He's a radio talk show host, but we won't hold that against him.
No, he is. I'll tell you what, he was so warm. I really wanted to spend some more time talking to him.
Good deal. Back here at home, to bring it back to Alabama. You mentioned they're asking how the Senate race is going. Mm-hmm. You've got a very big Senate race going on here in the primary, and
huge.
At the same time,
huge.
At the same time, you've got AL1 and now AL2.
Yeah. Fairly Republican spots. The question is, what will the Republican primary voters do?
Right.
Look, I want to make this very clear. I might have a title of chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. In fact, longest serving chair since 1985.
Wow.
Yeah,
top 10
longest serving right now in the RNC, and longest serving female RNC chair right now. But the reality is, that is honestly, if I can just talk to my folks here and be as honest as I can, that didn't mean squat to me. What matters are the voters.
Right.
And I want my folks to know we are a customer service party. It doesn't mean we always agree. My husband and I don't always agree, right? But the reality is our voters make the final decisions. And we are very conscious of that. So really, it's not really with me what's going to happen. On March the 3rd, on our primary, what are the voters going to say? And this is the time between now and then that the candidates, and we have some magnificent candidates, have to make their case to the voters. And it's hard. I want everyone to know. Yeah, it's easy to sit back and throw rocks at folks. Mm-hmm. And heck, I've thrown some boulders at some folks before, if I'm honest. But the reality is, it's tough to get in the arena of public policy. Mm-hmm. And to bear your soul and put yourself and your family out there, put your business on hold, lose money, and then just some of the social pressures with social media nowadays. It's a big lift. So we're grateful for our candidates, but it's the voters that make the decision at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it, that your clients are the Republican voters.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the way to look at it. You got to serve the client. And I'll throw this into the mix. As you know, somebody in the state that likes to see that from a professional side and just a citizen side, the more chances we have to have, because their messaging is out, they're going to have stump speeches here, they're going to stop, talk, they're going to be on this show and talk to me. But I love it when I get multiple candidates together and they get framed the same question.
Yeah.
And to hear.
Right. You know, it's you can hear kind of like what you were talking about, the vice president. He sounds like a great guy just to go hang out with. You'll know if they're genuine or not. Look, politicians and a lot of these folks that are jumping in these races, they're not perfect. And a lot of them are brand new to the system.
Right.
So, look, we still have the greatest system ever that our founding fathers have gifted us with. We just need to keep it going. With the Democratic Party right now and watching what they're doing, how they're imploding in the state and imploding nationally, I like our odds. If we stay on message, if we stay on content, if we stay on platform, and that's what we try to do in our party.
Well, it's one of these things that talking about messaging, and this is where I like the debate idea. I like to have a situation. It's fine for people to come out and talk about what they will do, whether it's AL1, AL2, or the Senate race. How much they're in line, the Republicans say, how much they're in line with President Trump. Okay. And but I do get frustrated. I say that, do that. And now, like you talked about the client portion of it, they're asking for a job from me and
That's
fellow
right.
Alabama voters.
We're the employers.
I need them not just to all say, we all want a job at your company. Tell me why you're the better. That's the thing in intra-party politics. I think people sometimes look past and say, oh, well, they're on the same, but there's different. They all believe these things. Tell me how you're going to do it better than the other person. Mm-hmm. I mean, this primary process is a good thing. It's good. The one sword sharpens another kind of thing. It needs to happen.
Absolutely. So what I call that, I actually have a name for that.
Okay.
I call it the tiebreaker.
Okay.
And I constantly tell my candidates, what is your tiebreaker? If all six of you are checking the same check boxes, or four of you, or 12 of you, or whoever's in the primary, you have got to find what breaks the tie. I mean, if this
so you're telling them that because that's
yeah,
that's
I
good.
Tell them that absolutely. If there's a football team and you're vying for the number one spot, and the coaches are sitting there watching you, what makes you different than the other folks?
Right.
You know, you're going to run faster. You're going to catch the ball. You're not going to drop it. Right. You're going to what? You're going to do. You're going to head fake someone. I'm just saying, to me, I call it the tiebreaker. Make your case to why you're the one to rise above the others and see if it'll stick with the voters.
Right. I mean, let's go back to the football analogy for a second. The playbook is the playbook. They all agree that this is the playbook in this game.
Right.
Okay, this is the playbook. Tell me why you're better at implementing that playbook
than
the other person.
That's right.
And that doesn't mean, at least from a consumer side, that doesn't mean I'm better because that person's a bad person. No. I want to hear, because of my experience doing this, here's some examples of things I've done. Here's an idea I have that nobody's talking about. We're trying to accomplish the same thing, but here's why I'm better for the job.
And I'll have to tell you something, at least I think I can say it right now. We'll see how the primary process gets closer to March the 3rd. Our candidates right now have been very civil with each other. Mm-hmm. I've been around them, and we're going to hear some of this, and I understand it might get a little bit more heated as we get closer, but I think right now they're handling themselves very well, and they're just trying to make – they're not trying to hurt or pick or – tear down somebody
been,
else.
There might have been one tiff this week. There might have been one tiff.
Well, it's going to happen a little bit, but overall, right now, we're feeling good.
But it's good that you're passing on that message as a state chair, though, and hopefully, I mean, I know that they've got consultants and campaign managers and all that stuff in their ear, but this just as a regular Alabama voter, right? I'd like them to say, hey, these other people and I all agree with this, what the president wants to do on this and that. But here's why I'm better than them.
Sure.
Did y'all know that I did X, Y, and Z? And this is, something like that.
I think it's wise.
All right, coming right back. More with head of Alabama GOP, Terry Latham, in the studio right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Appreciate the text. Keep them coming at 343-0106. And from the text line, a question for the chair of the Alabama GOP, Terry Latham. Here you go. So this is a subject we've talked about on this show quite a bit, and it involves the census. We've been talking about the census, Alabama's lawsuit as well, but this idea of not asking citizenship question on the census and why this is important as we look at representation. In a representative republic, in the House, you get representation based on how many citizens are in that state, and you divide it up into districts, right? We all learned that in school early on.
Yep, it's a head count. When I was teaching fifth grade, I had X amount of students, and I counted heads, and I had supplies and needs for that amount of students. So, mm-hmm. I had to count every head, make sure everyone was taken care of. This is really no different. It's super important for us to do this.
But what if we had some students from another school come in? They weren't in that school, and they got counted on that day.
Well, if they were enrolled in the school, they would be counted.
No, from another school. They just showed up that day and stuck in your classroom, and then you counted them too.
that is a very unlikely scenario, since they would have to come through the school system.
Right, but I'm just, it's the idea that, the idea of apportionment for representation. To me, I gotta, I wasn't sitting with the founders. I'm not that old, but the idea to me would be that if you're going to have a representative republic and represent voices, you represent the voices of citizens. I don't know why that is contentious.
Political.
It is, and it's been politicized. And I've asked people, I said, why am I asking something that's, that's a mean spirit. It's not mean spirit. It's a fair, that's just an analytical question. If the purpose of our government and our republic is to establish a certain voice for every X number of Americans, citizens, then you need to work off the numbers of citizens.
Look, the founding fathers, when they wrote these documents and left us this amazing country, if we don't mess it up, as they say, mm-hmm. Ben Franklin, I believe, said.
Yeah, as long as you can keep it.
That's right. Who thinks their intent was if you're illegal citizen?
Or even if you
weren't.
Okay, even if you were legally here on a work visa, or you happen to be vacationing here, if you're not a citizen, and this is not partisan, this is what drives me crazy. It shouldn't be partisan at all. It should just be formulaic that the voice of citizens is represented.
Right.
Like we don't go and say, well, we ought to factor in some people, in the United Kingdom. We need to go get some English people involved. No, because they're not citizens.
Well, and if you're in England at the same time and they're doing their census, they're not going to count you.
Because you don't belong.
You're not a citizen.
You're not represented there.
Yeah, look, I think this has been taken to the extreme, like so many other things in politics at times. And this is about the citizens of our great
and
nation.
That is,
and
I
all
know
the
you're,
other stuff is political to make political hay.
And that is Democrat citizens, Republican citizens, independent citizens, libertarian citizens.
Yeah.
It doesn't
Absolutely.
Care. It doesn't care what
no.
party.
No, it doesn't ask you.
But it says you must be a citizen of the United States. to have your voice represented. So I want to ask this because from the text line, you have any input on how the congressional districts are redistricted after the 2020 census. And I think we people haven't been following it, bring them up to date. There's a chance, and some people say a good chance, that we lose one of our seven congressional districts.
So, yes, I would say that saying is being said and repeated a lot in the state. It's very likely there could be some truth to it. Mm-hmm. I think I saw some stats and that showed that Alabama does have some growth, but not as much as it needs to keep up with keeping a congressional member. So it is super important. And this is not about color of your skin or what political party or your religion or your
member.
None of that stuff that is just so divisive in politics. This is, to me, a really basic question.
Yep.
As an Alabamian, do you want to keep more representation in Congress for yourself and your family? Do you want to keep the federal dollars that trickle down a lot of times in our everyday life here in our state? Or do you want to give our power away if we lose someone because people in –
because they're counting people who aren't citizens.
And then you want to give it to California? You want to give that extra person over to Texas? You want to move, wherever people are moving?
They could tell me,
it's just
Terry,
frightening.
They could say that this is how, for me, it's jingoistic and not partisan. They could tell me, let's pick another state that's just solidly Republican state. And let's say that state is about to get the extra congressional district when we lose one. I'm not giving it up.
You're going down swinging.
I don't care that it's a Republican. What I care is Alabama has the voice, and that's a voice for Democrats. That's a voice for Republicans. It's a voice for – and when you talk about funding, y'all, the federal funding, we will be diminished by a seventh.
So if we can go up to the 10,000-foot view and really just kind of look at this topic of the census – all this and these subsets we're talking about are really important, and they're going to look louder and louder for people's agendas. But to me, I'm a pretty simple girl. It's do you want to keep the things that Alabama citizens are taxpayers that you put in federal government in our state to fund our state, to help our families, to help our schools, to help our healthcare, all the topics, or is it okay with you if we don't fill our census out for that to go to another state?
I
just see it as pretty much that simple. We can go in all the weeds.
You're a good teacher. That's it.
Thank you. We can go in all the weeds if we want to, but at the end of the day, isn't that the bottom line question?
It is.
To me, it is.
It's once again, I think this is what, and I know it's been politicized, and it's like everything is political, but this is one, seriously, if I'm trying to make a case to Alabamians to forget party for a second, just say, hey, this is us inside Alabama, and this is going to apply. You're going to have a diminishment in services. If you're a Democrat or Republican, it does not care. It does not care. The fact that there will be 1/7 reduction or thereabouts, if we don't have that congressional district, it doesn't care what party you're.
No, it's not. Absolutely.
The voice of Alabamians will be reduced, and the amount of money that we send in taxes that comes back will be reduced. Those are facts,
correct?
Yeah,
there's no do-over on this either. Your next do-over is 10 years from now. So,
and if it was accurate,
to make this one up.
If it was done from an accurate basis, I would grudgingly accept it because it's our system. Okay, but when you look at the fact that you can't have a citizenship question on the census, and we got the numbers of sanctuary cities and people that are being counted in other states, I don't know why this doesn't lead newscast after newscast.
Because that's not the narrative. That's not the narrative at all. And I mean, if you want to go down the row of sanctuary cities, first of all, there's not even such a thing. There's not even such a thing as that, but they've made this up, trying to group illegal immigrants, not immigrants. Watch the news. Watch the news media tonight, or turn something on, or look on social media. Particularly the Democratic Party will say immigrants.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Sure, that's in the language today.
They do not put the word illegal immigrant in front of it.
Well,
Terry, they'll say the problem.
Because people can't be illegal. Terry, that's what they say.
Oh,
a
really?
Human can't be illegal. That's what they say.
Well, that's ridiculous. How about that for just some common Alabama sense?
Right.
Sure they are. If you're breaking the laws, it's illegal.
Yeah.
If there's something other definition I've missed in the last 60 years out there, let me know.
You know, if you're somewhere,
just nonsense.
If you're, but here's
I'm
the
muttering.
But no, and the illegal part of it. But let's just say, I mean, if we took the fact that the illegal immigrant part of this out, let's just say you found out in the census, I don't care what party you're in, that they are counting people on work visas, okay, and they're counting tourists from other countries that happen to be in a state at the time that the census is taken. You would throw your hands up and say, well, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. That is what we're talking about here. They are counting people who are not citizens. There's a they want to make sure that, you know, you put the citizenship question on that, it would squash that. Well, that's good. If you're not a citizen, you don't get representation.
What is the founding fathers' intent? And how did they write these documents to get us here? We are, you know, in 2019 talking about something that people back in 1776 did. Where'd they want us to go with this? They were not talking about illegal people.
No,
they were people breaking our laws. They were talking about people, citizens of this country.
That would have a voice and representation.
I don't understand why this is so difficult for people, unless it's the narrative they want to do to divide us up, cause right. more issues, and then it does become political.
Sure.
I just hope Alabamians will look at this and go, this is about Alabamian citizens of our state.
Well said. Well said. Hopefully we can keep that going around the state, that conversation can happen,
because
it's for everybody in Alabama is why this is a big deal. All right. As we look at the schedule for now, you're back home. We're talking about the national schedule, but here at home, March 3rd, primary date for the Alabama GOP and kind of break down, because we have AL1, AL2. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Senate race. What are the dates on every? All the same for when's qualifying? When are all those things happen?
So the political parties have their own qualifying dates.
What does that mean, too? People hadn't studied this before. What's right. qualifying?
So that's the time of an open and closing, just like if you have a registration at school, mm-hmm. you have to register school, open day, closing day kind of thing. And the Republican Party, which is my lane and really the one I know about more than the Democratic Party, we're going to, I believe, open qualifying October the 8th and close November the 8th. Now, the November the 8th date is mandated by law and from the governor's resolution, but it also is 120 days. I don't mean to get out in the weeds, but facts and learning are
they can handle it.
They're patriots who want to learn how does this work. It's not secret. But I believe it's 120 days prior to the election.
Okay.
So if you back up 120 days from March the 3rd, that's your deadline.
That's your deadline.
Because you have to print ballots and military ballots. Right. There really is a procedure. It's
so November 8th
we close. Yes. So at November the 8th at 5 p.m. On our website, and everyone can go to algop.org, and as people qualify through the state party, we're going to put them up there so everyone can see.
What do you got to do to qualify?
It's really a two-step process for us. Simple. Fill out a very simple qualifying form.
Okay.
And the qualifying fee. Now, if you're a candidate, it's a state candidate, it's 2%, no more than 2% of the salary. If you're a federal candidate, there is no limit.
Okay.
It's not law. It's a state law.
Right, but you have
state.
To invite you when it's federal, even though you're
the party chooses.
You're running things here in Alabama, but it's a federal election, so you got a FEC.
But each state chooses their own qualifying fees. And for the federal candidates and how they qualify.
Well, wait a second.
What?
It's 2% for state and nothing for Fed? Why'd you do that?
No, it's the law. It's the law for state candidates. There's no federal law to what a state party can do for federal candidates. So we can set our own qualifying fees for federal candidates.
Okay. Why don't you make it? I don't know. Make them pass a test.
Well, there's a qualifying form they fill out, and it has some, I want to say, hard requirements on it. Very simple requirements. You know,
so we'll know for sure by November 8th who is in for AL1, AL2 in the
at 5 o'clock that day. Yes, we will. If they do it last minute, we'll get them up that night, and everyone will see.
All right. So if there was any, we'll talk about this when we get back. But if there's any chance of hearing a debate or something like that would happen after that, right? All right, coming right back. More with Terry Latham right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1250, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com. Have a great conversation on air and off air with head of Alabama GOP, Terry Lathan, in studio. And we're talking, I want to circle back, because a question that was asked earlier, and I probably didn't give you a chance to answer it in its entirety, that talking about the change in congressional districts, but do you have any input and how the congressional districts are redistricted after the 2020 census?
Right, that's a great question, too. No, the political party, the Republican Party itself, does not. The state legislature and our legislators are the ones who are tasked with redrawing once the census numbers come in.
Okay. In doing that, so just to go, we'll go to school a little bit here real quickly, as we talk about that apportionment and representation, if we go through what we can go back to the previous segments, what I think is going to be a flawed process. But in that, they would then have to make all the remaining districts, six of them, more populous to make up, to make them equal.
That's correct. I mean, that is the way our process is set up. If I recall, the United States Supreme Court a few weeks ago, there was a gerrymandering came in front of them. Basically, the justices said, well, I think it was 5-4, which many of those are going to be nowadays. Yay, Donald Trump for that. But I think they basically said, hey, if you want to write the lines, you want to redistrict, win. Win at the ballot box. Boy, well, there's some common sense for you,
I like,
because
that,
you know, he who has the goal makes the rules.
Right.
And so if you don't like it that you didn't win, then you don't get to do this, cause and effect, well, then you got to win.
You know, and I would agree, unless, you know, somebody does something completely egregious. But, I mean, the the push and pull of the magnets of both sides of the political aisle will keep that.
It's math. This
is
math.
There's math, and there's some things that we'll only let it go so far one way, because you go too far one way with it, then you mess. You know, if you're a partisan on either side, you could redistrict to a certain point where it's good for you, and then when it's egregious, it's bad for you.
That's right. Well, there are some, you know, the courts will sit there and look at it if it's something absolutely outrageous. But it's just like, well, we lost, and we don't like that they're drawing the lines because we want to draw them. I think what the Supreme Court of the United States said, well, then you better win at the ballot box.
Well, if you looked at the redrawing, I mean, AL1, let's say, and I don't want it to, I want our seven, but let's say we go through that. We're looking at six. I think necessarily just all districts are going to get bigger, but where does like AL1 grow? And you and I talked during the break, when a congressional district grows, even in Republican primary politics, it can change somewhat of the flavor of the district. People would think, oh, it's all the same. AL1's the same as AL7 is AL5. It's not. Look at AL2. I mean, look at there's some difference.
Yeah. So I do travel a good bit on the back roads. I mean, where your cell phone won't pick up.
Right.
The beautiful parts of Alabama I've been blessed, I never would see if I wasn't state chair, to go to all these awesome towns and places. And, it's different. We're cut seven different ways. Look, you know, it's culture, elected officials, geography, demographics.
Do they have factories, these kind of things?
Rural versus big city versus, you know, rockets and ships versus manufacturing. It's steel industry. It can change.
If you have to redraw, you water down something or bring more of something else in.
Yeah, I mean, every time you annex a piece of Mobile in, or you annex, let's say a neighborhood is going to grow bigger and take in a neighborhood next to you, is the flavor of the people and the needs not different? Yes, it is different.
Okay.
Would we adapt to it? Of course we would. Over time, we would adapt to that.
Sure.
But the reality is we don't want to. We want seven districts.
Right. It becomes a new norm. And that's like Republican politics. The initial case I make is for all Alabamians. Fight for our seven congressional districts. Make sure we get the representation we are supposed to. It doesn't go anywhere else other than here. Because if it goes to another state, they don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent. That voice has gone to another state. That money's gone to another state.
Why would we give any power, one electoral college vote away, or any millions of federal dollars? Why would we do that?
Should be for everybody in the state.
I have no
state.
Answer other than we need to keep it here at home.
We should all pull the same way on this one.
Absolutely.
There should be no question. Talking about the so the qualifying coming up November 8th. So after November 8th, people will be that will be the qualified candidates, and then that starts the process, the 120 days to the primary in March.
That's right. That's right. It's done. And so, again, while the party is at that moment an infrastructure and intake machine for qualifying to make sure everything's right, and we will then send those names to the Secretary of State. These are our candidates, you know, with my signature on it. We then let the candidates do their thing. And, again, very hard work on their part, and the voters make the decision on March the 3rd. Now, I will like – there's a couple of changes in the election I would love to share.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the first thing is that the legislature changed a law this year that there will only be a four-week runoff in general elections.
Okay.
Not 6 weeks anymore.
All right.
But it's 6 weeks was just – oh, it felt like 6 months. But it's only 4 weeks.
So it's bad for radio stations, but that's fine.
Okay, okay. Sorry, I'm not sure. I'm sorry they weren't thinking about you when they changed the law. But everyone, now you only have 4 weeks from the March the 3rd primary for a runoff. Okay, that's the first thing.
Okay.
And the second thing is the absentee ballots. Normally, you apply for an absentee ballot, and then you get the ballot in the mail. And when you return it, you have to have a picture of official your photo ID with the ballot.
Right.
They're reversing that this time. Your picture photo ID, government ID, must be with the application. It must be on
the
front end.
That way people can't stack ballots.
That's right.
Yeah, I got it.
Then you will get the ballot and you do not need to put it back in the ballot because what they've done is they've cleared you already.
Right.
And
pre-check.
Right. And another big change that's happened is, and I'm not even sure if most people realize this has been happening, so I guess it won't matter, but there will be no more posting of names of people who have applied for absentee ballots. I'm not sure if you're aware, but every day during that process down at the absentee ballot manager's office, when an application came in and they okayed it, they would put your name up on a list.
Okay.
It would just say Sean Sullivan.
Right.
And anybody could go in, and there has been story after story after story after story.
About houses getting robbed.
They're called, no. They're called brokers, absentee ballot brokers.
Sure, they contact.
And they go and find it, and then they try to go contact those people.
Make you a great deal.
Make you, maybe I'll have your ballot, or have you gotten that? Can I talk to you? That is now gone. And honestly, I never understood for the life of me why it's anybody's business.
It must be some old holdover for some reason.
Oh, I bet there was. On why my name or your name or anyone's, who is it of anyone's business that I have applied for an absentee ballot? In my opinion, it's not. But that has stopped. And if you didn't know that to start with, then never mind. It didn't matter.
All right. Well, this has been really a great informative hour. Got to get you back soon.
Absolutely.
And remind folks, you gave the website for the party.
ALGOP.org. Yeah, put your email in. You'll get lots of great information from us. Stay up to date. And we're looking forward to winning that U.S. Senate seat back.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Lots to do. What's up? Ben Raines is going to join us later on in the hour. What to do with the Clotilda? I mean, you've got federal people saying maybe they need this. The state may need this. What about Africatown? What about the city of Mobile? Who's got claim on this? And where's the best place to put it?